Hi, I'm Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you will hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matters. AMA's Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. The AMA is a global leader in professional development and education, improving the immediate performance and long-term growth of individuals and organizations. Check us out on our website, www.amanet.org. Innovation is vital to the success of any organization, but often groupthink and expertthink stifle new ideas. In her new book, The Innovation Killer, How What We Know Limits What We Can Imagine and What Smart Companies Are Doing About It, author Cindy Raby talks about how to defeat the kind of thinking that can overcome teams and kill true innovation. Cindy offers insights on how to find and work with the right people and shows, through fascinating real-world examples, the huge difference they can make. Cindy Raby held the position of innovation strategist for the Intel Corporation until early 2006, when she founded Zero-G, a company that contributes and stimulates breakthrough insights that lead to innovations and improvements in all areas of business. Welcome to the program, Cindy. Why is innovation so hard?
You know, innovation is so difficult because it's all about new. And as human beings, we sort of have a tendency to fight what's new. We fight it in a couple of ways. In groups, we fight it with groupthink. So we get groups of people together, and we want to reach consensus, and we want to agree on things and all work together nicely. And that means that new ideas typically are the ones that people are least comfortable with, and they're the ones that the group shoots down most often. The other issue is what I call expert think, and that's this tendency we all have to rely on our own expertise to tell us what will work and what won't work. In organizations, that means organizations rely on their own best-known methods, the processes that they've established over time. And that's wonderful. It keeps things very efficient and moving forward. But it also tends to kill things that are new or unorthodox. So innovation in terms of how to do things in a new way, in a different way, is often shut down by expert thinking. So innovation is hard because as human beings, we're just psychologically set up to oppose it at some level. And then as organizations, we tend to also, put blockades in place against it just because we're trying to continue doing what we've already been doing well in the past.
I'm thinking about the classic anti-consulting biases that are out there. You know, the consultants, so that means, you know, my job's in trouble and we're in trouble and all that other stuff. And we got a lot of smart people internally. Why do I need to resort to outsiders?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, I think that we, as people, as a society, tend to think about consultants and outsiders in the wrong way from an innovation standpoint. The way we should think about the type of people that I think you should bring in to encourage innovation, and by the way, I call these people zero-gravity thinkers, think about them as folks who come from outside and can act as a catalyst for getting you and your team to think about things in a different way. So we talked about key issues that prevent innovation as being groupthink and expert think. These outsiders, these zero-gravity thinkers, aren't meant to come in with all of the answers themselves. What they're meant to do is disrupt groupthink and expert think within the team. So they come in with these different ideas. They come in with not necessarily any specific knowledge about your organization, and they ask the dumb, naive questions, or they bring points of view from outside industries that can help your team look at the problem from a different perspective. These are not people, consultants, who are meant to come in and take anyone's job. In fact, one of the things that I clearly recommend about zero-gravity thinkers is that they are not there permanently. They need to come in, and everyone needs to understand that they're there temporarily, and their job is to act as a catalyst.
So that pretty much describes what a zero gravity thinker is, but it would probably make sense for people within a company to take on some of the attitudes and approaches to solving problems that zero gravity thinkers do. So how can a person act more like a zero gravity thinker?
That's a great question. I love it. I think all of us could do well to emulate zero gravity thinkers, or people who really, you know, are not tied down to thinking about things in the expert mode. There are a few things that I recommend to people. One is that they start thinking about things in a different way, trying to connect the dots in a different way. Zero gravity thinkers, one of their characteristics is that they come from disciplines or from industries that are not the same as, that are adjacent to the industry that they may be acting as a catalyst within. So by bringing in these different perspectives, they're often able to stimulate new ways of thinking about problems. So we can do that ourselves. For instance, I tell people to practice making weird connections. So think about any problem that you're trying to solve. You know, you've got some sales deal that you want to close. Well, instead of thinking about it in sort of a traditional way, in terms of how can you move this deal forward, spend 5 minutes or so thinking about this problem and thinking about how, somebody from a TV show you watched last night might solve the problem. So let's talk about the sitcom Friends, how one of the characters on Friends might have solved a particular aspect of the sales problem you're working on. Now, that sounds weird, and that sounds like a weird connection that isn't necessarily going to help you. But what it's going to do is make you think about that problem, that challenge, in a very different way. So I tell people every day, think about making some very bizarre, weird connection that you would never ordinarily think about when trying to be innovative about problem solving. So that's one of the ways you can act like a zero gravity thinker. Another thing that you can do is actually make time for thinking. One of the big issues that all of us have is not having enough time to just sit down and really think about, strategize about a problem we're trying to solve. Too many of us are in ready, fire, aim mode. And I'm saying, you need to give yourself some time to actually aim before firing. So good zero-gravity thinkers have some time that they allocate, every day. Maybe it's 15 minutes you stick on your calendar, and this is just your time to ponder a significant challenge that you're working on. So those are just a couple of things that you can do to be more like a zero-gravity thinker.
Obviously, a key player in utilizing the talents of a zero-gravity thinker is the internal leader of a project or an organization. What role does the leader play in this innovation process?
The biggest role that a leader can play in the innovation process is to establish what I call a culture of courage. And that means making it okay, making it more than okay, making it expected to take risks and to try things that are new and different. Too often, leaders say that they value risk-taking, but their actions prove otherwise. They say, go take risks, go try something new, and when those things fail, they punish people for them. Good leaders, leaders who are exceptional at leading innovative organizations, actually reward people even when they fail. A good example is Scott Cook of Intuit, who gives out the Greatest Failure Award on a regular basis to employees who tried something and it failed miserably by any traditional measures. But at the same time, the company and the employee learned something valuable from it. So that's an excellent example of a leader establishing a culture of courage, and that's probably the most important thing they can do.
Outside of Intuit, can you give us an example or two of companies that are getting this right?
You know, GE is a poster child for doing innovation incredibly well. Other companies like IDEO, doing a fabulous job of innovating on an ongoing basis and, you know, becoming teachers to companies like Procter & Gamble, who come in and learn how to emulate their way of looking at the world. And by the way, IDEO, as an example, is an organization who hires people that have zero gravity thinker characteristics. They bring these people in who have incredibly diverse backgrounds, and they throw them all together and they put them on client projects, sometimes that have absolutely nothing to do with anything they've ever done before. But they come up with these fabulous, innovative ideas that are incredibly valuable to their clients, just because they've pulled together this great culture of courage and thrown all the right people in the mix to enable them to do that.
I think you should consider as sort of a poster child for this zero gravity thinker stuff is like MacGyver. Remember MacGyver from like the 1990s?
Yeah, you know,
he's in the back of a limousine, and the only thing he's got is a little packet of soy sauce, and somehow he, you know, uses the soy sauce to escape from the limousine and the villains and all that. But
I love it. You're right. That's perfect.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
And now, it's time for You've Been Spotted, the part of the program where we interview random people who are attending a workshop or seminar at one of our 5 executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website, www.amanet.org. Here's Kevin Lee.
Today I'm visiting AMA's course on creativity and innovation, led by AMA faculty member Nanette DeWester. And I'm asking participants about the challenge to innovate within their organizations and what tools they found to foster creativity.
Yes, I work in a governmental agency, and most people don't think outside the box. They usually think very limited. I wouldn't say limited, but routinely. We're purchasing new equipment, new rail systems, new bus systems, cameras on the buses, electric fuel buses. So the technology is there, so we have to also keep up with the changes, because that does affect us also in how we're going to run the organization.
I actually work in the medical industry, and it's a big organization, which I think in general can be challenging, because, you know, when you have a creative idea, it's one thing to have it, but it's another to implement it and to get buy-in. And one of the most beneficial things that I took home from this class is how to reach that, how to get that buy-in, how to generate those ideas. Taking yourself outside of the existing organization that you're in and having an opportunity to meet with people and get fresh ideas is really, something that's been very valuable. And that in conjunction with different techniques to figure out how to think outside the box and how to, you know, what types of exercises you could do as a team, as a group, to come up with these ideas that you can bring back to the office and bring back to your environment and implement them. I think those are the major, you know, the most important things that I brought back that will be beneficial to me.
Nanette, as instructor of the course, did you see any activities or exercises that had an immediate impact on the participants?
Yeah, a couple of them are really useful tools. The first one is reverse assumptions. That, let's say you make an assumption, like a classic example is that with Amazon, that people only buy books from bookstores, and or any kind of company that would think that somebody wouldn't do something unless it was in a certain established way, to do the opposite and see what happens with the opposite. Also looking at a negative as an opportunity or a positive and turning it on its head. So reversing a perception and turning it around, it was really helpful for people. Also, dynamics of brainstorming, that you can say have a brainstorming session, but they don't know how to structure it. so everyone has a decentralized role, so everyone's equal, and you have a facilitator who truly is not a leader but a facilitator and gets people to think about wild ideas and truly pushing people to just off the top of their head, stream of consciousness, say wild stuff. And because when people build on those ideas, and then they can then funnel it down to something that's more realistic. But if you don't go way out there, you can't come back in with something that's actually doable and interesting, different, and innovative. So it to push people over the edge, because nobody ever wants to say at work the crazy thing. They want to be accepted and be appreciated and not get fired for saying something too off the mark. Here, I'm encouraging them to go way over there so then they can bring it back, and then they'll have something fresh.
As always, we'd love to get your feedback, so please drop us an email at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.